You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. Thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. Today on the podcast, we are going to touch on my leftover thoughts, which is going to include a bunch of random stuff. Then we're going to talk to Dr. Kyle Trimble of Banged Up Bills for an injury recap on what's happening for this game on Sunday. Then we're going to give you my predictions for the Bills versus Washington game. And then we'll close with my NFL draft prospects to watch this weekend with an eye towards the Buffalo Bills. So let's get started with my leftover thoughts. And like I said, this is going to feel kind of random, but that's the objective with this segment. I want to just kind of dump things that are on my mind regarding the Buffalo Bills here to start our Friday conversation. So I got five different things written down. First, the Bills defense is back. The Bills defense is back. You know what? You've watched the games. You've seen how good they played against Pittsburgh and how good they played against Miami. And the Bills are currently second in the NFL in defensive DVOA. That is a good metric that provides evidence as to how good the Bills defense is playing. Feels like they got the defensive line rotation figured out. Edmonds and Milano are flying around on the second level. Poyer and Hyde continue to be high-level performers at safety. Taron Johnson is dynamic in the slot right now. The Bills' outside corners are playing fine. And so it's just a good feeling. And when you combine that with the run game being better offensively and our hope that the passing game finds itself, the Bills have a chance to be a more balanced team this year than they were last year. And I'm not talking about pass-run splits on offense in terms of balance. I mean overall balance. Pass offense, run offense, overall defense. You can take away the football. You can create pressure on the quarterback. You can defend the run. I mean, they can do a whole lot more. Last year was, all right, can Josh Allen win track meets by throwing the football all over the yard and scoring tons of points? And hopefully you won't need to run it because you can't. And hopefully the defense shows up. This is a more balanced and complete team. And I remember last year, those first four games, I had an honest conversation with everyone on this podcast, and I said, what does this team do well? What does this Bills team do well? And the only thing that I could really point to was pass the ball on offense. The defense was reeling. The run game wasn't there. They could just pass the ball. And I think because this team is more complete this year, I have a more favorable outlook for where this team can go at this point in the season now as compared to last year. It's a more complete team. They can beat you in more ways. And that defense being back is a real big deal. Now, while I do think that the defense is back, there are some issues. And an issue that has plagued the Bills defensively every year under Coach McDermott. And if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of years, you know exactly what I'm about to say. Missed tackles. The Bills are still a bad tackling defense. And for a coach in Sean McDermott that preaches fundamentals, I continue to be surprised by how inconsistent his defenses tackle. Right now, the Bills are second in the NFL with 20 missed tackles. Just one behind the Minnesota Vikings at number one, who have 21. Now, if you're wondering where the Washington football team measures up when it comes to missed tackles, they have the fifth fewest missed tackles in the NFL so far. But the Bills second most, and they've been in the top three every year under McDermott. And there's a guy who continues to whiff pretty frequently, and he's a good player, but Tre'Davious White has not been a consistent tackler for the Bills defense. He leads the way with 5 missed tackles already this year, the second most in the NFL. 5 missed tackles in 2 games. Matt Milano has 3. A.J. Klein has 3. A.J. Epenesa has 2. And surprisingly, Jordan Poyer has 2. So 20 total missed tackles through 2 games, second most in the NFL, and a problem that has not gone away under Coach McDermott. I'm anxious to see it go away because just imagine how much better the defense can be if they're not conceding those extra yards because you're missing tackle attempts. So a little bit of meat left on the bone for this Bills defense to continue their dominance and improve. The next talking point I have down in my leftover thoughts is about the run game, the offensive run game. It's been really good. 8th in the NFL in rush DVOA so far this year, up from 22nd last year. And that was a big question mark. Remember last year when we were talking about the Bills playing home playoff games and being nervous that it was going to be cold and wet and the Bills wouldn't be able to throw it because they didn't have a reliable run game? So far, so good. And that's encouraging. And there's a metric that I want to point to here that provides some evidence as to just how much better this run game has been. And it's a run blocking statistic. Right now, the Bills are 3rd in the NFL in yards before contact per rushing attempt at 3.4 yards. So on average, the Bills running backs, or ball carriers, if you will, are not being contacted until they clear 3.5 yards from the line of scrimmage. Last year, that was only 1.9, 31st in the NFL. So there has been a notable, a material, what's up, Greg Thompson, a material improvement in run blocking that has led to the Bills being in the top 10 of the NFL right now in rush DVOA. It's good news. Need that. I don't want a lot of runs, but I want to be able to run the football when the Bills need to run the football, especially right now when the passing game's not there yet. So I wanted to highlight just how much better this run game has been and that metric of 3.4 yards before contact per attempt, which is 3rd in the NFL, up from 1.9 last year, which is 31st in the NFL. Now, one thing on offense that is an issue, that still is an issue, is yards after catch. And we talked about this over the offseason as an area of the Bills passing game that can get better. And I talked about how the Bills offense only produced 4.7 yards after the catch per reception last year, 23rd in the NFL. And how I thought the Bills had a real opportunity to get better at that. And there's a number of factors that contributed. Ball placement from Josh Allen, the types of routes that the receivers run, the receivers doing a better job creating after the catch, seemed like low-hanging fruit when it came to this Bills offense. Well, so far through 2 games, it is not better. It's worse. It's worse by more than a yard per reception. The Bills are down to 3.6 yards after catch per reception so far this year, 30th in the NFL. I mean, there's some teams that are getting above 7 yards after the catch per reception. The Bills are sub 4, 3.6. It's still an area of this offense that I think has room to improve. And, you know, I was studying the Carolina Panthers this past week and Sam Darnold and what he's been able to accomplish through 2 starts with the Panthers. And obviously Christian McCaffrey is such an important part of what they do offensively. But this guy is averaging 11 yards per reception, and his average depth of target is 1.7 yards from the line of scrimmage. I mean, this guy's nearly ripping off 10 yards after the catch per reception, and he's been targeted 22% of the time for Sam Darnold in that Panthers offense. And meanwhile, I talked about on the Tuesday podcast how the screen percentage has been down for the Bills this year, which goes hand in hand with the reduced blitzes that they're seeing this year. But there's still ways that you can get the ball to your playmakers in space and allow them to work after the catch. And I think it's something that this offense needs more of. Now, part of that is always going to be a little bit low because you have an aggressive quarterback in Josh Allen that likes to work the football down the field. But to me, it's such an obvious area of the offense that can be better and ways that this offense can be more productive even last year when they scored 501 points. And so far, I'm disappointed to find out that it's worse. A lot of football left to play, but if I were Brian Daboll, I'd be thinking about ways to get more yards after catch. Number four, kind of lasering in on this Washington-Buffalo game, I was surprised to learn that both Buffalo and Washington are fast-paced offenses. I knew that the Bills were, but Washington's right there. Only five teams in the NFL run a play every 26 seconds or less, and two of those teams are Washington and Buffalo. Bills are third, Washington's fourth. So I would expect there to be a lot of pace and tempo in this game and for there to be a lot of plays run because you have two offenses that move fast. So I'd expect it. I would expect for Washington to allow Taylor Heinicke some opportunities to run with tempo and run 2 minute in non-2 minute situations. And we know the Bills offense is going to move with some good pace. So two of the faster paced offenses squaring up on Sunday, expect there to be a lot of plays run combined for both teams. And the last thing I have written down here in my leftover thoughts is the Bills lead the league in yards allowed per punt return at 2 on average. The Bills, on average this year through 2 games, are allowing 2 yards per punt return. So a little bit of appreciation and respect for Tywan Jones and Saran Neal as the Bills gunners on the punt team that are making it pretty difficult for these guys to get going in the return game. And so I know that Matt Hawk is a punter that is on the team due in large to his ability to kick the football down the field in a way that makes it difficult for teams to gain yards on punts. And a lot of punts that just have not been fielded. But it's also a good job by Saran Neal and Tywan Jones in their role as punt gunners. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There is something for everyone. They've got salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, double chocolate, mint brownie, raspberry, cherry, coconut. So many great flavors. And look, maybe you don't know where to start. Get yourself a mixed box. That's where you can get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Try them all. Figure out which ones you like. And not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bars on the planet, they're healthy too. Check out these macros. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories range from 130 to 180. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. The flavors are amazing. They're all tasty and they're all healthy. I've got a deal for you. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. I'm joined now by Dr. Kyle Trimble of Banged Up Bills. He runs a website, bangedupbills.com. You can follow him on Twitter at bangedupbills, and he joins us each week to talk injuries. And Kyle, as I look at this injury report as we see it on Thursday afternoon, the most interesting thing to me is Gabriel Davis, who has an ankle injury, limited Wednesday, limited Thursday. And I think about that on top of him not being targeted at all against the Miami Dolphins in a game where it kind of felt like the Bills needed somebody else to step up in the passing game. No targets to Davis, limited with the ankle. What's going on with the Bills' second-year wide receiver?
So Davis, like you said, didn't have any targets. He played in, I believe it was 21 snaps during the game. He didn't appear too labored during the game, but you saw in practice that he's still having a tough time slowing down on that ankle. So like he's able to cut on it, he's able to accelerate forward, but he's slowing down. You can just tell that he can't slow down and stop when he needs to. So I don't still have an idea exactly what he's dealing with. It could just be a generalized ankle sprain. The film wasn't great and we haven't seen anything new come out regarding what it is. So I still expect him to play on Sunday, though you hope that they're going to get him more into the game plan. You look at one part of it saying, why don't they elevate somebody else and have more Jay Kumerow involved or even more snaps than Emmanuel Sanders? But he's getting the majority of the snaps over Davis as is anyway. And you also see McKenzie still being played a little bit. This might have just been, hey, let's get Davis out here. You can play through it. and use him as decoy, especially since how well he played last year. There's definitely a reason behind why he's still playing despite dealing with the ankle, but it doesn't appear severe enough that they have to sit him out. So I know they want to be conservative with injury management and not have to use their call-ups either more than they need to. So he might just be out there as an option just in case somebody else does get hurt down the line. But there's not anything new besides the fact that there's tape on the right ankle and he's still walking around having some problems with it.
All right, let's turn our attention to a couple of Bills cornerbacks here in Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace. Dane Jackson with a knee injury. He's been limited on Wednesday and Thursday. Levi Wallace also a knee injury. Full participant in practice on Wednesday, limited on Thursday. And I see these two injuries. I know that the Bills worked out a couple of cornerbacks this week, a couple of veteran quarterbacks in Quentin Dunbar and Demarius Randall. Should we be concerned about these corners that are important depth and a starter opposite of Tre'Davious White?
Not from what I'm seeing on film. Looking at Levi Wallace first, he went out of the game with cramping early in the second quarter and didn't return. And Dane Jackson was playing just fine. So there wasn't a need to bring Wallace back in. And Sean McDermott even said that. Looking at what the knee was, there's not anything clear on film. The closest thing come that there was a knee injury was that after that interception that he caught, and it was incredibly pretty to look back and watch every time I was looking for this injury, he got a textbook double leg takedown by whoever tackled him to take him down. There's the only instance where I saw he would have had some type of injury to his knee. And other than that, unless he tweaked it somehow, run around, there wasn't anything else on film that suggested there was knee injury. So it's surprising that he showed up. I don't see where he wouldn't play on Sunday unless he's downgraded to do not participate and he's ruled out. But even his questionable designation, I don't see how he doesn't play, especially since there wasn't a clear mechanism of injury. But I don't believe the cramping is causing what's causing with this knee injury, but there's nothing clear on film. That also goes for Dane Jackson too. I combed through every snap he took on Sunday. He had a few shots to the knee on tackles, mostly to the left knee, but it wasn't clear what he was doing with either. And he was either involved with the tackling or he was just kind of part of the play, covers man. So also not clear what's on film. I don't see how he doesn't play, but they do have Cam Lewis to call up in case there's any issues with that. But nothing, just there's no smoking gun right now unless we get more information on either of those guys.
Let's finish this up with defensive tackle star Latulale, who opted out of 2020, comes back, has a calf injury that keeps him out of week one. We see him play last week. He looks good. And then he's got a groin injury, did not participate Wednesday, limited Thursday, which is a good sign, but a couple of soft tissue injuries here for a guy that opted out and is working his way back.
It is. It is concerning to see that he's dealing with that early on. The calf injury, we don't know whether it's 100%. I'm 0-for-2 on him. I thought he might have been able to play in week one. He didn't. And then last week, I was conservative thinking, well, it's really hot down in Miami. We saw Wallace go out. We saw Edmonds go out with cramping. Do you want to get your veteran defensive tackle out there who's already dealing with soft tissue injury to suffer a re-injury to the area? And I thought maybe they might be conservative to hold him out. Well, he played. He did well when he was in there, and from what I saw on film, he's in there for most of the running plays, first to second down. There wasn't anything on film that said this is what was going on, though I will say groin injuries are tough to identify on film just because they can be subtle. This might be more acclimation because we saw that with the calf coming back from the Packers game when he actually played in the preseason, and then he has that carries over in the regular season, dealing with the groin, and this is the first notable steps he's played in 2 years. He was moving around great in practice from that clip you texted me before we went on here today. He's trending in the right direction. Once again, unless they give him a questionable designation, even then I think he plays, and the weather's elite right now in Western New York, where I don't believe that he's going to be a factor if he does play, which I believe he will come Sunday. But it is concerning to see if this is going to linger or if it's going to be a one-off thing when Sunday and future games come up.
Well, Kyle, keep that weather elite for me when I make my way to town next week. I can't wait to get up there. And of course, thank you for once again joining the podcast, letting us know what's going on with these injuries. Again, he's Dr. Kyle Trimble at Banged Up Bills on Twitter. We appreciate your expertise, sir.
As always, Joe, thank you.
After 2 weeks of the NFL regular season, there's still time to make the most of it with a better way to create your custom pool at runyourpool.com, the premier sports pool hosting service. Run Your Pool makes it ridiculously easy to run a football pool with friends, family, or office mates. They offer dozens of formats, including Survivor, Pick'em, Squares, Margin, Confidence Pools, 33, and more. Run Your Pool hosts formats for NFL and college football with one-week games, full season, playoffs, or the Super Bowl. And unlike other fantasy sports platforms, Run Your Pool has options and settings to make it your own. You can even brand your pool for your local business, bar, or restaurant. Reconnect with friends and join the nearly 2 million football fans to make every game action-packed this season. It's not too late to start a Pick'em or Survivor pool, and for Survivor leagues that have already lost, we offer a Revival pool where you can restart your pool at a discount. They have the Pick 5 contests open weekly for folks to win prizes. NHL and NBA are just on the horizon, and those pools can last all season long. So check them out today and get $10 off at runyourpool.com/LockedOn or use our promo code LockedOn at checkout. Anywhere, everywhere in the world, Run Your Pool helps friends and colleagues compete. And don't miss out. The NFL season is off to an exciting start. So go to runyourpool.com/LockedOn and have your pool up and running in minutes. Runyourpool.com/LockedOn. Football is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron with teams on the field to start another season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. And don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and they are your online sportsbook experts. All right, folks, it's prediction time. I've got five of them for you, like I do every week. And, of course, my predictions are intended to tell you a little bit more about how I think this game is going to go. And so I could predict very easy things like Stephon Diggs will catch a pass or Devin Singletary will have 15 rushing yards. But the objective here is to predict things that I think will fall in line with the script of the game that I envision. So I've got two for the defense, two for the offense, and then, of course, the result. Let's start with the defense. My first prediction is that the Bills' defense registers four sacks, at least. So at least four sacks for the Bills' defense. I think they're going to have some opportunities here to heat up Taylor Heinicke. He struggles with the blitz. The Bills are a blitz-aggressive defense. I think they'll replicate a lot of the dynamics of the game plan last week against Miami and heat them up. They've got a rookie right tackle in Sam Cosmi. Eric Flowers can be had at left guard. There's a lot of new players here on this group, three different starters from last year. And the Bills are a tough front. They're deep with pass rushers. It's going to be a home crowd. It's going to be loud. And so I think the Bills are going to get after Heinicke and collect at least four sacks on Sunday. Number two, I have the Bills defense holding Washington under 300 total yards and under 20 first downs. I think the Bills defense will continue this week their dominance. And that will show up in the form of negative plays and just overall limited offense for Washington. You guys know I have a lot of respect for Terry McLaurin, have a lot of respect for Antonio Gibson. I like Scott Turner as an offensive coordinator, but they just don't have enough depth at playmakers. They don't have enough answers in the passing game without Curtis Samuel available to them. And so I don't think they can put enough stress on the Bills for them to move the football up and down the field with consistency. So less than 300 yards and less than 20 first downs for Washington on Sunday. Next up, give me Cole Beasley with a touchdown and the team lead for receptions on Sunday. Josh Allen has to find rhythm, right? He mentioned that after the game on Sunday against Miami, that he has to find rhythm. Well, how do you find rhythm on offense? You throw the ball to Cole Beasley. It's consistent. You know he's going to get open. You know he's going to catch the football. And I think he's going to be heavily targeted in this game. Josh has to keep this offense on schedule. And I think that means more Cole Beasley. So I think he leads the team in receptions on Sunday, and he scores a touchdown. Number four, I have a completion percentage of at least 65% for Josh Allen on Sunday. I think you are going to see Josh be more willing this week to work the football with rhythm, to hit the backs and tight ends, to hit the slot receivers a bit more, and just create positive plays. And instead of kind of chasing big throws down the field, I think he's going to operate a lot more within rhythm and within structure, and he's going to get the ball to playmakers, and it's just going to be a more efficient passing game, and that will be evidenced by a 65% completion percentage for Josh Allen or better. My fifth prediction is that the Bills win this game. They improve to 2-1 and take care of their business at home against a quarterback in Taylor Heinicke that hasn't played a lot in the NFL. Yeah, Washington's got extra time to prepare for this game, but the strength of that team is their defense. And that defense has not played well so far this year. And so it reminds me a little bit of where the Bills last year were defensively, where you expected the unit to be better, and they weren't. And so they were thinking a lot. They weren't playing together. They didn't play with an edge. And so I think this is a nightmare matchup for Washington, right? You have an offense that's running the football well, that we know can throw the football. They're at home, and they want to prove what they can be offensively. It's not the opponent I would want to have if I was Washington in a game where you're looking to get your defense right. And Washington's got a tough schedule ahead. They face Green Bay and Kansas City, Tampa Bay. They've got some tough games coming up. And they got a tough one on Sunday against the Bills. And they've got a ways to go with this defense, a lot of new pieces in the secondary, and they need to live up to expectations up front. So I think the Bills answer the call on Sunday, win the game, and improve to 2-1. All right, so now my NFL draft prospects to watch on Saturday. Like I do every week, I want to take you through a journey here to watch college football and watch a player that I think is a Bills target, somebody that I think the Bills will be interested in and could draft next April. And so the objective here is to introduce you to some of these players now so you can start watching them and get familiar much sooner than, you know, kind of crunching in February, March, and April to learn all these players. I'm giving them to you every week here. I mean, we've already done 3 weeks worth of this. And so now it's time for another week. All right, so like I say every week, wake up on Saturday, have breakfast, pet your dog, spend some time with the family, and then it's time to get focused in on football starting at 12 noon Eastern time. Turn your TV on Fox. You're going to watch Notre Dame and Wisconsin. And the player I want you to focus in on here is, for the Wisconsin Badgers defense, number 95 defensive tackle Keanu Benton, 6'4", 317 pounds. I think that the Bills are going to make multiple investments next year in the draft along the interior offensive line and the interior defensive line. You are going to see Brandon Bean invest heavily there in my mind. And so I want to focus on introducing names at those positions. Last week we did a bunch of interior offensive linemen, and I have a couple of defensive tackles for you this week. The first one, Benton. Again, 6'4", 317 pounds. The coaches there rave about this guy. They absolutely love him, and their defensive coordinator, Jim Leonard, I think is really exceptional, one of the best defensive minds in college football, and he knows how to utilize his personnel. And Benton is a guy in the middle of that defense that has the potential to really blossom this year. And there was a lot of thought that he could be a big-time breakout performer this season. And he's played well, but I don't think he's broken out yet. And this is going to be a great stage for him, going up against a Notre Dame offensive line that always produces NFL talent. Really good running back there in Kyren Williams, one of my favorite players in the class coming up. So another added bonus to watch this game. check out this running back that Notre Dame has. He's really good in the passing game. Excellent pass protection, really good catching the football, and he runs hard. I love him. So Benton is the attraction here, a guy that I think can play one tech and give the Bills some youth. So check him out, 12 noon, Fox, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, number 95. At 3:30, turn your TV to CBS, Texas A&M against Arkansas, a couple of 3-0 teams here from the SEC. Texas A&M's got an offensive lineman I want you to focus on, number 55, Kenyon Green. I'm not sure if he's going to play right tackle or right guard, so number 55 is what you need to know, and then go from there. He's played guard and tackle, and that's a good thing. I think he's a guard in the NFL, 6'4", 325 pounds. Technically refined player, powerful, versatile, and can play multiple spots, right? Like he can play guard and tackle. He's done it. And so I think his best spot in the NFL is at guard. And he's really held his own against really good players in the SEC. And I think he has plug-and-play potential. I think he's an end-of-the-first-round type target for the Bills that could provide a much-needed answer at guard. So Kenyon Green, number 55, 6'4", 325, offensive lineman for Texas A&M against Arkansas. At 7 o'clock, we're going to keep it in the SEC. Turn your TV to ESPN. It's Tennessee and Florida. And this isn't, you know, Phil Fulmer against Steve Spurrier, but the Tennessee Volunteers defense has a couple players that I want you to focus on. We're going to double dip here for this Tennessee defense. First up is number 51 defensive tackle Elijah Simmons, 6'2", 350 pounds, big dude. And I was tipped off on this guy a couple weeks ago. I was speaking with Eric Galco, the director of the Shrine game, and he said, you got to check this player out. And so I have a little bit, and he's good. And he's a guy that could cause a lot of problems, big-time space eater, but, man, he's got some mobility to him as well. Like I said, 350 pounds, young player, an emerging talent. And this Florida offense played well against Alabama last week. They ran the football extremely well. And so that's why I think this is a great showcase opportunity for Simmons to show his ability to anchor in the middle of the defense and, you know, see what type of pass rush he can generate. So for a Bills defense that I think will be looking to add interior players, Simmons is a guy for the Tennessee Vols that has my attention. Again, number 51. The other player for the Vols defense is number 2, a cornerback, Alante Taylor, converted from wide receiver back in 2018 and has been a fixture for the Vols at corner since then. Has the ball skills you would expect for a converted wide receiver. Good length, physical player, super competitive, plays on all the special teams. And so I think for a mid-round cornerback prospect, you know, this is a guy that I think the Bills will like. I think he's got a lot of the characteristics that we see the Bills prefer in their cornerback prospects. So I don't think the Bills are going to pick one early, and that's why it's good to talk about the mid-round options at corner. And Alante Taylor out of Tennessee, number 2, is a good one to watch, and it'll be a great test for him against Florida on Saturday night. So there you have it. Gave you my leftover thoughts. We talked to banged-up Bills about the injuries, predictions, NFL draft prospects to watch. We did the crossover preview this week. We did the primer. We did everything. The hay is in the barn. The only thing left to do is for the Bills to take care of their business at home against the Washington football team and improve to 2-1. So hope you enjoyed today on the podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. I hope you take a moment to make sure you're subscribed. Rate, review, share the podcast. All that stuff is so helpful. Go Bills. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.